his word, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and shewing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Amen. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. God is good. And all the time, happy Sabbath to you. Amen. I'm very grateful to God for this high, high honor of speaking for him. Tremendous privilege to be handpicked by God to speak for him. There is an associated honor which I also thank him for, and that is the honor of speaking to you, his children, for whom he sent his son to die. So I'm doubly honored today, and I give all the thanks, the honor, the praise, and the glory to God, who deserves every bit of it. Is there anyone present among us? You are not a Seventh-day Adventist. May I see your hand? You are not a Seventh-day Adventist. May I see your hand? Anyone? No guests? Did you invite anyone? You didn't. You did. Oh, what's your name? What did the lady say? Maya. Hello, Maya. How are you? It's nice to see you. Thank you. Oh, thank you very much. Thank you for coming, Maya. And may God bless you in everything you do. And may the Lord hasten the day when you become one of us. Can you say amen?
Amen.
That was weak. Say it again.
Amen.
One more time.
Amen.
God is good.
All the time.
And all the time. Now say with me, we love Maya. Come on. We love Maya. Say it again. We love Maya. One more time. We love Maya. Maya, God bless you. Thank you for coming. Please come back. Anybody else? You're not a Seventh-day Adventist and you finally made up your mind that you're not? Anybody else? Okay. Next to Maya. Oh, what's his name? John is a good Bible name. John, how are you? Good to see you, John. John, where are you from? Where? I was in Nigeria last October in the city of Jos, Plateau State. And I actually stayed in the palace of a traditional king who is a Seventh-day Adventist. Very nice man. And his wife treated me very nicely. So I, for the first time, stayed in a palace. And actually, the room in which I stayed, Queen Elizabeth stayed in that room when she visited a long time ago. So when you see me, please bow your head. John, thank you for coming, John. Is this the first time you're fellowshipping with us? Please, John, come again.
Amen.
John, may the Lord bless you so much that wherever you go, you become a blessing to others. Say with me, we love John.
We love John.
Say it again.
We love John.
Say it again.
We love
John. We want John to come back. Say it again. We want John to come back. John, God bless you. God bless you. Anybody else before I run out of energy? You are not a Seventh-day Adventist. So we have John and Maya. Is there another well-dressed culprit?
At the corner.
Where?
At the corner.
What took you so long? What's your name? Your name is what?
John.
Oh, John. So we have John squared. Okay, John, how are you? Where are you from? Don't say Nigeria.
Fiji.
Oh, I did a two-week revival for Fiji, but online. I was supposed to have gone, but this thing called COVID came, and I could not go. So they asked me, would you do it online, but you'd have to wake up 3 o'clock every morning? I said, yes, I'll do it. Had a lovely time. So I hope. Back then, the president of Fiji was a Seventh-day Adventist. I don't know if he still is, but that was the case back then. John, thank you for coming. May the Lord bless you. Place his hand of mercy upon you and guide you right into his kingdom. Say amen for John.
Amen.
Say it again.
Amen.
So say with me, we love John number two.
We
love John number two. Say it again. We love John number two. One more time. We love John number two. John number one, John number two. Maya, please come back sometime and fellowship with us. Anyone else who's not a Seventh-day Adventist? All right. Now I have to get on with the sermon. Make up your minds. Who is that? Your name is what? Raina. Hello, Raina. What does Raina mean? You think what? Somebody help me. Greeting. Greek. Okay, I accept it by faith, but I don't understand. It's okay. Raina, who invited you? What did Raina say? Who? Where's Auntie Candy?
Candy.
Andy who?
Candy.
Auntie Tanty.
Yeah.
Auntie Tanty.
Yeah.
Oh, Tandy. Oh, Auntie Tandy.
Yes.
How are you, Auntie Tandy? Thanks for bringing Sister Raina. Sister Raina, I'm glad you accepted the invitation. God bless you very much, Raina. Who's that little angel in your arms, Auntie Tandy? Who? Kiana.
Tiana.
How old is Tiana? God bless Tiana.
Amen.
More than he blesses you, but bless you too. But God bless Tiana. Do you know Jesus Christ was that size?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. In the arms of Mary.
Right.
Oh, yes. He really became human. Mm-hmm. Say with me, we love Raina.
We love Raina.
We want Raina to come back.
We want Raina to come back.
Raina, God bless you. God bless you. God bless Auntie Tandy.
Amen.
Yes.
Who?
You suffered a loss in your family? Oh, I'm sorry. Who was it? Oh, what was her name? Tiffany. Let's pray. Father in heaven, 1 Corinthians 15:26, the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. We long for that day, dear God, when there shall be no more death, no sorrow, no crying, no pain. As a God of compassion, comfort the family, I pray. And even in their loss, let the light of your love shine upon them. Sustain those, the survivors, I pray. And let them so live that one day, those living today and those who've passed May you reunite. Hear this humble prayer, Father, and I extend it to any other member of the household of faith who has suffered a loss. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. Our subject for today, higher than the highest. What did I say? If you're not using one of these things, may I impose upon you to turn them off. Not down, off. If you turn it down and it vibrates, you will look to see who's calling, because we're naturally curious. And also because we're naturally inquisitive, the person next to you will look to see what you're looking at. And we'll have a disturbance in the house of God. We want to avoid that. God deserves reverence. All those who agree, say amen. He really deserves reverence. Can you think of a man God killed because of irreverence? What was his name? He touched something he should not have touched. Uzzah, yes. Uzzah, oh yes, God bless that little prophet. Yes, Uzzah. He knew he should not touch that ark. He touched it with good intentions, and God killed him. He didn't just die, God killed him. It sounds harsh, but God simply takes back what is his. And what is that? Life. Mm-hmm. God is a God of reverence. My first favor, that you turn these off if you're not using them. If you are using them, turn the sound down. Favor number two, while I'm speaking, pray for me and say, Lord, put your words in that man's mouth. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 9, then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said unto me, behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. And I really want God's words in my mouth. And favor number three, think, please. Isaiah 1:18, come now, let us do what? Reason together. You and I serve a reasonable God. Our enemy is unreasonable, and that's Satan. So God is willing to listen to you. God tells you, come, my daughter, explain to me why you have not been going to church. Come, my son, why are you taking exams on Sabbath? Let's talk. Come, my daughter, why are you involved contrary to be not an equally yoked together with unbelievers? God, talk to me. I'll try to understand. Let's reason. Let's pray. Father, thank you for being who you are. A God of love, compassion, long-suffering, jealous, forgiving. Father, I've come to speak for you, but I'm human, I am made of dirt, and I'm called upon to handle divine truth. I need help from above. Put your words in my mouth. Put your ideas in my mind. Grant to me the humility of Jesus Christ, the fearlessness of John the Baptist. Father, if I've offended you, forgive me, please. Bless every man, woman, boy, and girl worshiping in this building, but put a sweet blessing on our guests. Wherever people are worshiping you now on this holy day that most of the world ignores, bless them, Father. Now, dear God, I commit this message to your glory. As your Spirit whispers to me, say that, let me say it. When the Spirit tells me, do not say that, let me not say it. Hear this humble prayer, Father. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray, let God's people say, amen and amen. What's our subject? Go to Isaiah chapter 40. We read verse 25. Isaiah 40, 40. Reading from verse 25. I have Michigan time. What time is it? Someone who has a clock or a watch, what time is it? 20 past 12. I'll try to release you by one. That's 40 minutes. Is that excessive? Is that excessive? Okay. I thought someone said yes. What book did I say? What chapter? Reading from what verse? If you have my version, the King James Version, feel free to read with me. To whom then will you liken me, or shall I be equal, saith the Holy One? When reading the Bible, keep in mind, the world of the Bible was a world of polytheism. What is polytheism? Many gods. The Canaanites had Baal and a female god, Ashtaroth. The Philistines had the fish god. What was his name? Dagon. The Mesopotamians had, you know, Ishtar, a female god. Egyptians had Isis. There were communities or civilizations or nations that practiced polytheism. God wanted the Israelites to worship one God. Surrounded as they were with false gods, remember when Jacob left the employ of Laban, he, of course, his wife went with him. She had under her saddle what? Little idols. Because this business of false worship had infected God's people. And before you and I look down our noses on Rachel, it is affecting us today. Because idols are not only physical. An idol can be an idea that goes contrary to thus said the Lord. Ellen White tells us it is as easy to fashion an idol of wood and stone, of false theories and doctrines, as it is to make an idol of wood and stone. A false doctrine deliberately followed is an idol. And so God tells his people, to whom then will ye liken me? Baal, Ashtaroth, Dagon, or to whom shall I be equal? Then he tells them in verse 26, lift up your eyes on high and behold who hath created these things. God advances his position as creator to differentiate himself from all other gods. To whom then will ye liken me? Is there anyone in the universe equal to me? Is the question. Keep this in mind now. Let's go to Genesis 14. In this chapter, Lot has been captured by a combined army from the other side of the Euphrates River. Abraham finds out. Abraham pursues this combined army with only 318 of his servants. Finds them, defeats them, brings back Lot, his goods, the women, their goods, and everything. Now, Abraham has returned. Verse 18, we pick up the story in Genesis 14, our subject, higher than the highest. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God. Notice this expression, he was the priest of the Most High God. In an environment of polytheism, Most High God is necessary. Higher than all other gods, he was the priest of the Most High God. And he blessed him and said, blessed be Abram of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be the Most High God, which hath delivered thine enemies into thy hand. And he gave him tithes of all. Melchizedek refers to Abraham's God. He was also Melchizedek's God as the Most High God. No one higher. No one bigger. No one more powerful. Verse 21. And the king of Sodom said unto Abram, Abram had not yet been called Abraham. He became Abraham in Genesis 17 verse 5. He is still Abram. His wife is Sarai. She becomes Sarah later on. The king of Sodom said unto Abram, give me the persons and take the goods to thyself. Abraham led the attack that delivered Lot and all the inhabitants of Sodom, Gomorrah, Admah, Zeboim, and Bela, which had been captured by these kings. Abraham brings them back. The king of Sodom, who had run when the battle was hot, he comes now out of hiding and he tells Abraham, "Return my people to me that I may repopulate my city, but you keep all the goods you captured." That was the law back then. And Abraham said to the king of Sodom, "I have lifted up my hand unto the Lord, the Most High God, the possessor of heaven and earth." Now, Abraham adds one other title in verse 19, and he blessed him and said, "Blessed be Abram of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth." So Melchizedek says, "Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth." Abraham adds, "I have lifted up my hand unto the Lord, Adonai." The Jews did not believe in pronouncing the name of God, Yahweh. They replaced it with Adonai. When Moses said to God in Exodus 3 verse 13, and Moses said unto God, "Behold, when I come to the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, the God of your fathers have sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, what is his name? What shall I say unto them?" And God said unto Moses, "I am that I am. Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am have sent me unto you. I am." That is what Yahweh is based on. But that name was regarded as so holy, it was not pronounced. It was not used. Remember the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Remember when Christ gave the model prayer, "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." By the way, when you pray, don't keep repeating that holy name. Jesus said, when you pray, say, "Father." Not Yahweh and Jehovah. Father. Because Jehovah is the vocalization of Yahweh. Because Yahweh is made up of consonants, no vowels. And so they try to figure out how to pronounce that word. And Jehovah is the most popular form of pronouncing it, the vocalization. Abraham says, "I have lifted up my hand unto the Lord, the Most High God, that I will not take from a thread even to a shoe latchet, and I will not take anything that is thine, lest thou should say, I have made Abraham rich." Verse 23 of Genesis 14. The Most High God. Adonai. Yahweh. The possessor of heaven and earth. And our subject is higher than the highest. And our theme is in times like these, you need what? A savior. We need to understand. The Bible tells us in Daniel 12 verse 1, "This shall be a time of trouble such as has never been since there was a nation, even to that same time." A time of trouble is coming the world has never seen. The world has seen the flood, destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah, destruction of Jerusalem, the Black Plague, World War I, World War II, Vietnam War, Korean War, the wars that go on so often all over the world, they're no longer mentioned, they're not newsworthy. The world has seen catastrophe. The genocide in Rwanda, the genocide earlier than that of the Armenians, the slave trade, black and white. Yet the Bible says, there's coming some trouble on this earth that has never been witnessed. Then you need a savior who can get you out of that. What's our subject? Higher than the highest. Let me pray again. Father, as I continue, speak through me, I pray, dear God. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray, let God's people say, amen and amen. I have lifted up my hand unto the Lord Adonai. The supreme being, the highest of the high. This name crops up in the New Testament. Let's take a look at it. Philippians 2, we read from verse 5. Philippians 2, reading from verse 5. We're looking for Adonai, the Most High God, the absolute sovereign. We're looking for that name, of course, in a different language, in the New Testament. You have Philippians 2? You read from verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of man. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, read with me now, and given him, come on, a name which is above. Yes. That at the name of Jesus, now that's not the name. It's not that. Jesus is not the name. But we keep reading. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in and things on earth and things under the earth. And that every tongue should confess. What? Jesus Christ is Lord. Stop. Kyrios in the Greek is the translation of Adonai in the Old Testament. The Most High God, Yahweh. That's who walked this earth. And we know him as Jesus. By the way, his name is not Jesus Christ. Christ is his work. His name is Jesus, the Christ. His real name would be Jesus Bar Joseph. Bar means son of Joseph. But he is so closely associated with his word. He is known as Jesus Christ. But his name is Jesus. The name the angel said should be given to him. But the Father has given him a name, which really he always had. Kyrios in the Greek is the equivalent to Adonai in the Old Testament. What I'm trying to tell you, that the Most High God that Melchizedek referred to in Genesis 14, 19 and 20, the Most High God Abraham referred to in Genesis 14, 22, that person who is also described as the possessor of heaven and earth is no other than, finish my words, Jesus Christ. The Most High God. Why is he the possessor of heaven and earth? Go with me to Genesis 1. We shall read verse 1. Now please put a smile on God's face by saying it without looking. Please. Genesis 1:1. Are you ready? In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Stop. The Hebrew word Elohim is the plural form of El. Eloi. Elohim. When Christ was on the cross, he cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Which is being interpreted Eloi. That's what he cried out in the language translation. My God. He was speaking to one person. Elohim, many. And so in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. All members of the Godhead were involved, but the central active figure was Jesus Christ. Let's go to Genesis 1, verse 26. And we read 27. It's about 12:30. By your clock, maybe 12:35. Do we have Genesis 1, 26 and 27? I want you to read microscopically. When you found it, say amen. Read with me. And God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. Stop. Let us, plural, make man in our image. Our is plural. But read verse 27. So God created man in his. Stop. That's singular. Meaning one of the hour in verse 26. Are you with me when I said one of the hour? Yes. Verse 26 says, let us make man in our image. That has to be more than one. One of that group actually did the creating. I've lost you. Oh, I haven't lost you. Oh, I apologize. I've misjudged you. I thought you were sleeping with your eyes open. All right. Let us make man in our image. Verse 27 says, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. We have one person acting in verse 27. We have several people involved in verse 26. But the leading figure is in verse 27. Keep this in mind. Now let's go back to Genesis 14. We read from verse 19. And he blessed him and said, blessed be Abram of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. The one in verse 27 of whom it is said, so God created man in his own image. That was Christ. Now, the image of Christ is the image of God, is the image of the Holy Spirit. Are you following me? You say yes, but I have difficulty believing you. Are you with me?
Yes.
The image of God and the image of Christ, or Jesus, and the image of the Holy Ghost are all the same. Now, let's go back to verse 26 now and see that. I hope someone has said, Lord, put your words in that man's mouth. Please, I need it. Do you have verse 26? Genesis 1, are the texts being flashed on the screen?
Yes.
Oh, I'm sorry to know that. Okay. I usually don't allow that. I want people to open the Bibles for themselves. But since you're already hooked on it, I'll leave it alone. Verse 26, read with me. And God said, let us make man in our, stop. Is our plural?
Yes.
What's the next word? Is it plural?
Yes.
What is it? Our is? But the image is, so they all have the same image. I told you I've lost you. You just proved it. They have the same image. Let's leave the word image aside. They all possess the same divinity. Therefore, it's proper to say there is one God, one divinity. Not several. There's one divinity. You look at Jesus, it's the same divinity the Father has, the Holy Ghost has. One divinity.
Amen.
Let's go to John 1. We read from verse 1. You ought to say that without looking as well. If you're a good Adventist, show our guests that we know God's word. John 1:1, when you found it, say amen. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Stop. One of my favorite passages to speak on, I can never talk about this too often. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. John goes all the way back. The same was in the beginning with God. So we have two with God. A preposition establishes relationship. You can't have one and use a preposition for that one. The Word was with God, two individuals. The Word was God. They are the same in essence, in nature, in image, in divinity. But two different individuals. Now look at verse 3. All things were made by Him, even though we have two in verse 1 and two. In verse 2, all things were made by Him. Again, I say, of the Godhead, one was the active creator. Who was that? Jesus Christ. Now you listen again to Genesis 14, 19. And He blessed him and said, blessed be Abram of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. To whom was Melchizedek referring? Jesus Christ, who did not yet have that name. You must understand that the person who came in a woman's womb was the one who said, let there be light. The one who slept on a boat in a storm was the one who said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life. The one who sat on the well, John chapter 4, because he was hungry, thirsty, and tired, was the one who parted the Red Sea. Daniel 12:1, there's coming a time of trouble such as the world has never seen. We need a savior that is equal, that no one is equal to. Jesus Christ, the Most High, the Lord Adonai, the Sovereign. What do I mean by sovereign? Who's the sovereign in England? King Charles. To form a government, even though it might be ritual, but you must go to King Charles for permission to form a government. And when you're thrown out, you go to him to say, I have been thrown out. You go to the sovereign. Christ is the sovereign, which means his will is above every other person's will. That's why the Bible says of God, he does whatever he wants. Go to Psalm 115. We read verses 1 to 3. Our subject, higher than the highest. Psalm 115, verses 1 to 3. Do you have that? Not yet. You're still looking. Many, many years ago, we used to find these texts very quickly. The screens came in and ruined our ability to do that. We thank God for technology, but never let technology take the place of your brain. Please. ChatGPT is not your brain. Think for yourself. Do you have Psalm 115, verses 1 to 3? Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory for thy mercy and for thy truth's sake. Wherefore should the heathen say, where is now their God? Read verse 3. But our God is where? He hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. That's a sovereign. That's Jesus Christ. So when Christ delivered a demon-possessed man and the Gadarenes in Mark chapter 5, the demons asked for permission to enter the swine. They recognized who this man was. He was man, but he was also the sovereign of the universe, and they requested permission from Christ to enter the swine. They begged him not to hurt them. Now, these demons haven't changed, and Christ haven't changed. When you live your life right next to the sovereign, when you live your life right next to the possessor of heaven and earth, you've seen people before. Focus right here. Two hands, two eyes, a nose, same thing. Focus. When you live next to the sovereign, when you live next to the possessor, when you live next to Adonai, the Most High God, El Elyon, Satan trembles. Many of us are in trouble with the devil because we're not close to the Most High God. The devil hates the presence of God. You see, Satan is the ultimate sinner. When Adam and Eve sinned, when God came down to the garden, they ran. Sin hates the presence of God. If you remain in the presence of God, Satan is uncomfortable. Because he hates the presence of God. And so I am presenting to you today someone whose presence is a threat to Satan just because of who he is. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And John tells us this God who created heaven and earth, in verse 14 of John 1, he tells us, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. The Most High God humbled himself, our scripture reading, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. God being God, whom does God have to obey? God doesn't keep the Sabbath. God is above law. God doesn't have to return a tithe. The Ten Commandments are for us, not God. If you keep this in mind, you understand the tremendous difficulty it must have been for God to place himself in a situation where he now has to obey. One of the sacrifices God gave the Israelites in the Old Testament was the sacrifice of the red heifer. You ever heard of it? No. That heifer had to be one that never wore a yoke. Yoke suggests obligation, bondage. It represented Christ. Christ came as a Savior who was under no obligation to save anyone. He came purely because of grace and love. God does not have to obey law. God is God. Law just expresses his character. We obey. Christ in his divinity, in his humanity, he obeyed. But for God to become man and thus place himself under obedience was a tremendous sacrifice. And he became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And who was this? The Most High, of whom the Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 16, who only hath immortality. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost are all immortal. Immortality does not die. Divinity does not die. God not has life. He is life. Are you with me?
Yes.
Let me say it differently. Let me pray. Father, as I express this thought, give me simple language, I pray, as simple as let there be light. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Right now, you're breathing because you need oxygen. Some of you are very eager for the service to be over so you can get to your lunch. We need food. Are you with me? We need to drink water to live. Before God made the firmament where the birds fly, there was no oxygen. What does God breathe? God doesn't need oxygen. Why'd you look at me like that? God does not need oxygen. God made oxygen. God does not need to eat. God is life. You see, eating means you have to be sustained, and God does not need anything. He is God. God is life. God is existence. God doesn't exercise to preserve his muscle mass. Jesus told the disciples, a spirit hath not flesh and bones as ye see me have. He also said God is a spirit. We don't fully understand how God exists. All we know is he's a person. He has feelings. And the Bible speaks symbolically of God having hands and feet. We do not know how God exists. We do know that God is life. God is existence itself. Nothing can exist apart from God. And to be more specific, I'm referring to Jesus Christ. Now here's what the Bible says about Christ in Colossians 1. Let's read 16 and 17, our subject, higher than the highest. The time, 10 minutes to something. Do you have Colossians 1? Nobody answered the guest. All right. What verses did I say? 16 and 17. When you found it, say amen.
Amen.
If you're still looking, say amen. Hurry up. You have it now? Read with me. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth. Stop. Everything in heaven was made by Christ. Everything. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible. Whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him. What's the next expression? And for him. Now, what does Melchizedek call him? The possessor of heaven and earth. All things were made for him. He made everything in heaven, everything on earth, including humanity. People belong to Christ. That's why he could come to die for us. He was coming to save what is his. Nobody said amen.
Amen.
I'll never come back to England. Christ came to save what is his. He had the legal right. And he is before all things, verse 17, and by him all things consist. He is before all things. The only thing Christ did not create, or the only things, were the Father and the Holy Ghost. You cannot create divinity. You cannot make God. God just is. Divinity is. And divinity has a threefold expression, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, each one fully divine. But the central figure in creation, in heaven and in earth, is Jesus Christ. And so Melchizedek said, Abraham said, I have lifted up my hand unto the Lord, the Most High God. We have Adonai, absolute sovereignty. The Most High, no one more powerful, the possessor of heaven and earth, everything belongs to God. I am not discussing prophecy. So this is not symbolic language. Your eyes belong to God. So be careful what you watch. How can I be euphemistic? Your reproductive organs belong to God. Be careful how you use them. And I'm not joking. Shall we take the members of Christ and make them the members of a harlot? 1 Corinthians 6. Your historical sketches, page 285, paragraph 4. Every youth should understand that he is not his own. That his strength, his time, his talents belong to God. It should be his chief purpose in life to glorify God and to do good to his fellow man. Every youth should understand, by extension, every adult. You do not belong to yourself. You belong to Christ by virtue of creation. But, listen to this quotation. Testimonies, volume 1, page 341, paragraph 1. What did I say? Testimonies, volume 1, page 341, paragraph 1. Listen carefully. Fallen man is Satan's lawful captive. The person who says no to God legally belongs to the devil. But the Most High wants that person back. Because Satan didn't create you. Christ did. Christ has a claim by virtue of creation. But by virtue of our choices, we give ourselves to the enemy. Fallen man is Satan's lawful captive. In other words, the devil has a legal right to a sinner. Not to someone who's given their life to Christ. He has no rights whatsoever. If you read the epistles of Paul, by the way, he never calls church members sinners. He always calls them saints. Let me say that again. I have said this, and you probably have. You call yourself a sinner. In the New Testament, God's people are not called sinners. They are called saints. overcoming sin, of course. A sinner, a practicing sinner, belongs to Satan. But Satan now has taken over something that originally belonged to Christ. And Calvary says, I want that person back. The same way a sinner legally belongs to Satan, he or she who gives the life to Christ legally belongs to Christ by virtue of Calvary. Calvary paid a legal price. This is not legalism. This is legality. They're two different things. Legality means having to do with the law. Legalism means using the law to be saved. This is not legalism. This is legality. Because he is the Most High God, because he's the possessor of heaven and earth, because he is Adonai, the sovereign whose will cannot be subjugated to any other person's will, he has a right to any man or woman who gives a life to him. The person who actively resists God is the legal possession of the devil. But let me repeat quickly, the Most High God wants that person back. What's our subject? Higher than the highest. Jesus Christ. Let's go to John 5. Let me show you what the Father has to say. Or what Jesus has to say about how the Father views him. John 5. Let's read verse 23 of John 5. Verse 23. This is Jesus speaking. Very beautiful chapter, John 5. Actually, entire beautiful book. The entire book of John. Very lovely. Do you have John 5, 23? Read with me. What does that say? That all men should do what? How? Even as they honor the Father. Stop. Let's continue. He that honoreth not the Son, honoreth not the Father, which have? Jesus said, you've got to honor me the way you honor God. The same reverence the Father deserves, Jesus Christ deserves, because they're equal in divinity. Christ, yes, he's the Son of God, and the Father sent him, but it does not change the fact that Christ and the Father have always been equal. So when we read it, Philippians chapter 2, wherefore God hath also exalted him and given him a name. He has always had that name, but for the benefit of humanity, so that they might understand, we have these words. The Father and the Son have always been equal. The reverence the angels give to the Father, they give to the Son. The Most High God. When Moses said to God, Exodus 3:13, behold, and I'm coming to the end, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say to them, the God of your fathers have sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, what is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. Because Moses had earlier refused to cooperate with God. He did not want to go to Pharaoh. He was afraid of Pharaoh for two good reasons. Pharaoh knew he'd committed a crime, and Pharaoh was the most powerful man on earth then. When I say on earth, I mean the world of the Bible. Moses did not want to go, and God had to let Moses know, listen, Pharaoh is nothing. Pharaoh is alive because of me. The Egyptians are where they are because of me. And I've determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation. It is God that determines which nation will occupy what part of the earth and for how long. And so God told Jeremiah in Jeremiah 27, Nebuchadnezzar will reign until the very time of his land come. Then shall many kings and great nations serve themselves of him. In other words, God tells Jeremiah, Nebuchadnezzar's time will run out, and I'll put someone else in that position. So God told Moses, listen, You tell them, I am that I am. I am life. I am being. I am existence. It is because of me Pharaoh is alive. Why are you afraid of Pharaoh? I am the mighty God. Genesis 17. When Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared unto Abraham and said unto him, walk thou before I am the almighty God El Shaddai, the all-powerful, almighty. This is the person who died on the cross. This is the Jesus who tells you now in Matthew 11:28, come unto me. All ye that labor and are heavy laden. Keep reading now. And I will give you rest. You say amen because you're nice. Do you understand why you said amen? Come to me. That's a personal God. I will give you rest, but you must come to me. Yes, Christ has a church, but many people have come to the church who have not come to Christ. Come to me. In John 14 from verse 1, you know it very well. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God? Believe also in me. I'm a person, not a doctrine. Believe. The doctrine merely tells you about me. Believe in me. There's someone, a God, who's also human now, watching us right now. And he tells you, are you burdened? Are you burdened? Are you brokenhearted? Come to me. Are you facing unemployment? Come to me. The first person in the Bible to work is Jesus Christ as the creator. The first one to rest is Jesus Christ as the creator. Come to me. Your children are rebellious. I have a large family called the Israelites, and they, says Jesus, they've driven me crazy. Come to me. You're broke? The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Come to me. You have marital problems? I have them with Israel. Come to me. To me. Isaiah 45:22. Look unto me and be saved, all the ends of the earth. Who is this me? Adonai, the sovereign God. El Elyon, the most high, none higher. Yahweh, I am that I am. Come to me, says Christ. And this high God is so eager to save. He first came to us in human form. Then he tells us, come to me. The Bible says heaven is far from earth. So to go to God, you've got a long distance to cover if you had to travel. Jesus says, I'll tell you what, I'll come to you. And you can come to me just by receiving me. And so we read in Revelation 3:20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. You know how far heaven is, as I said earlier? Astronomers tell us there are billions of galaxies. What's the name of our galaxy? The Milky Way. Astronomers estimate to cross the Milky Way from one end to another, traveling at the speed of light, 186,000 miles per hour, about 300,000 kilometers per hour, per second. 300,000 kilometers per second. To cross the Milky Way, one galaxy, would require 200,000 years. Now, there are billions of galaxies. How far is heaven from earth? We cannot imagine. Jesus came all the way down right on your doorstep, and he knocks. And he says, if any man open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me. That's fellowship. And who is that? The one who said, let there be light. The one who sent 10 plagues on Egypt. the one who parted the, by the way, each plague attacked an Egyptian god. And the ultimate one, the ultimate two, darkness, because the sun was a god, and they couldn't see it. Then killing the firstborn was a kind of god. The Egyptian pharaoh was the firstborn, he was a god, Ra. And God showed his power over all the Egyptian gods. I'll close the book as a visual sign that I'm finishing. This God became human. And he says to you, I feel what you feel. Desire of Ages, page 823, paragraph 4, Ellen White writes, Christ feels the woes of every sufferer. When fever is burning up the life current, he feels the agony. When evil spirits rend the frame, he feels the curse. When you've got a migraine, Jesus feels it. Because he's one of us. And also one of God. Fully divine, fully human. In his divinity, the Adonai, the Most High God, none higher, the possessor of heaven and earth, the one of whom the Bible says he does whatever he wants. If you scan the Old Testament particularly, every miracle of God was done either directly for the Israelites or because of the Israelites. If you follow prophecy, we are modern Israel. And God hasn't changed. God wants to deal with you as he dealt with Old Testament Israel. A special relationship. A human being bonded with the one who is higher than the highest. My brothers and sisters, a lot of suffering is unnecessary. Because there's a God who says, come to me. I will give you rest. Somebody needs to come to Christ. You've come to the church? Fine. Someone listening to me needs to come to a man who is God called Jesus. Who we met as the Adonai, the Most High God, the possessor of heaven and earth, the one who is higher than the highest. Someone needs to come to him and say, Lord, here is my life. Take control. Guide me through your word. Who will make that surrender? Can I see your hand? Think before you raise your hand. Who will make that surrender? Stand up. If you raise your hand, not all of you, those who raise their hands, who will make that surrender? This is very real. You're literally giving your life to the one who gave you life. And Christ knows to take care of what is his. If your life belongs to the devil, Christ has no legal right to be Lord of your life. None. Because sin, as I always say, is an embassy, and the devil has a right to that embassy, and God respects that right. When you give your life to Christ, then the devil has to back off, because now righteousness becomes God's embassy in your life. Who will say, Father, I surrender my life to you? You're not saved because your parents were Adventists. You must make your own choice. By the way, little children, God wants you to give your life to him. You may say, how? You simply say, Jesus, I give you my life. Come into my heart. And he will do that. Anybody else? Surrender your life to Christ. The Adonai, the sovereign, the Most High God, the possessor of heaven and earth. Second call. Who would like to recommit the life to Christ? Would you stand? Recommit. Otherwise, said, Genuine conversion is needed daily. Daily. It doesn't take much to say, Father, I surrender my life to you again. I made two calls, a total surrender to Christ. Second call, a recommitment of the life to Christ. I make one of the call. Which of you listening to me, you have been considering it and you need to make a decision to be baptized. You just like to make that decision. That's all. I need to be baptized or rebaptized. Can I see your hand? I need to be. God bless you. God bless you. Mm-hmm. Come. Special prayer for you. Come. Come, my young brothers. Come. Come. Stand next to your older brother. Come. I need to be baptized or rebaptized. Come. Come. Let these two apostles come. God bless you. God bless. Come. Three. Come. God bless. Somebody else come. I need to make that. Just a decision. That's all. Just a decision. Somebody else come. Just the decision. Let heaven and earth know I have made this choice. Come. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless. Give that life to the Most High. Jesus was 18, 19, whatever you are. God bless you, my young brother. Josiah was 8 years old when he became king of Israel. God bless you. Anybody else? I need to be baptized. I am just making the decision. That's all. Come. Someone else needs to come. Come, come. Put a smile on God's face. Come. God bless you. God. I need someone to take names. I want a copy of the names. Even when I leave England, I'll pray for you. Someone take names. Someone come with a pen and paper. Take names. While they're doing that, somebody else. I need to make a decision to be baptized at some point in the future. I am just declaring my decision. That's all. Somebody else. Come. Don't be afraid. Just come. 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 Man, woman, boy, and girl, come. This is my public decision. I want to be baptized at some point in the future. God bless you. God bless you. Come. God bless you. God bless you. Come. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. I really mean it from my heart. Somebody else. Let me tell you something. Life is uncertain. There have been a number of deaths of people I know, and I was saying to God, Father, why are so many of our people dying? Life is uncertain. Live a healthy life, yes. But a healthy life does not guarantee a long life. It just gives you a good life, a solid life. But at any point, the Lord can close your eyes. The call is a decision to be baptized. You and the pastor can arrange the time under the leading of God's Holy Spirit. Get the names, and I want a copy because I will pray for you long after I'm gone. Anybody else? I need to pray, let you go. I need to make a decision to be baptized. While we're getting the names, listen carefully. Come, my little sister, God bless you, God bless you, God bless you. Listen to this. There's someone you need to forgive who's hurt you. Make that decision. Because if you do not forgive, you cannot enter the kingdom. If the person has hurt you, that's one hurt. Then you hurt yourself by not forgiving. Someone who does not forgive cannot be saved. Forgive that person as Christ has forgiven you. Forgive us our debts as we forgive. If there's someone you need to forgive, make that decision right now, Father, by your grace. Whether I feel like it or not, I will forgive. Because when the Bible says thou shalt not kill, it has nothing to do with how you feel. Just don't kill. So when God says forgive, it has nothing to do with whether you feel like forgiving. Say it. Final call. There's someone to whom you need to apologize for having hurt them. Ask for the decency and say, I'm sorry. I did wrong. Forgive me. Many of us are not blessed because there are a lot of things under the carpet. We've swept under the carpet. And we cover it with nice dresses and suits. But God sees it. God will bless a clean church. Not just a well-dressed church. A clean church. And cleanliness is simply removing sin from the life. I'll repeat the calls and I'll pray. One, give your life to Christ. Two, recommit that life to God. Three, I need to make a decision to be baptized or rebaptized. Four, I'm deciding now to forgive that person who hurt me 30 years ago. And five, I've done someone something wrong. I'll go and say sorry. And that person may be the one who sleeps next to you at night. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Father, if I said anything I should not have said, forgive me. If I was too hard on your people, forgive me, dear God. Father, you know my heart. I'd love to see every one of them in your kingdom with their children entering before them. I ask you now in the name of Jesus Christ, dear God, authorize your spirit to intensify his conviction that more decisions might be made for baptism, rebaptism. More decisions may be made to commit the life to Christ, to recommit the life to him. Decisions might be made to forgive those who have hurt us and to apologize to those whom we've hurt. Please, Father, let these words trouble those who are still in the valley of decision until the right decision is made, a decision that puts you on the right side of God, that puts them on your right side. Now, Father, hear this humble prayer. As we break for lunch, help us to remember this is a holy day and there's a holy way to eat lunch on the Sabbath. Ah, Father, wrap your arms around us, dear God. There's room in your bosom for all of us. Wrap your arms around us and save us, I pray. In the name of Jesus Christ, let God's people say, amen and amen. Get all the names. Don't leave until we have your name. If we have your name, then you may go. And I want a copy of the names of those who made decisions to be baptized or rebaptized.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. International copyright, all rights reserved. Free listing of this message and over 7,000 other presentations by more than 100 speakers on 50 different topics is now available on our American Christian Ministries mobile app for Android and Apple devices, and on our secure website, or call 800-233-4450. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help to prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He's coming soon.